Hello, hello, and welcome back to episode 11's coverage on the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies. As you can tell by myself opening up the podcast, this is Scally. Matt is not here one more time this season. We couldn't make it work. So Az had to listen to what my grandfather told me if I ever get the chance to have Puya sub in for Matt one week on the Challenge podcast to make it happen. So that's just what we're doing. Puya, how are you doing?
Ruby. I'm excited to be here, Scally. Thank you so much for having me. The pleasure is all mine to be here.
No. Thank you for jumping in. Definitely appreciate it. I'm sure people are excited to hear your thoughts on the challenge. Now, I know that you have been a challenge fan and that you've watched for a number of seasons now, but just in case other people are not exactly sure, let's ask, what is your history with the challenge? When did you start watching? Do you have any favorite seasons? Something like that.
So the challenge is interesting because for the longest time, it was a big blind spot for me. I just had no idea it existed. I had no idea what it was. I thought the challenge was a movie starring Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. That's what I knew the challenge as for like ever. So then I eventually, obviously, I've become a part of this podcast community, reality TV community, and a couple of Big Brother players venture over to this show called The Challenge. That's the first time I truly gave it a proper watch. And it's not like it wasn't happening around me. Like there were people that I knew, friends of mine that were watching it. I just never dove in. And then it was the first season where they did have Big Brother people that I ended up indulging. And I enjoyed it a hell of a lot. So then I started watching bits and bobs here and there. The Challenge is an interesting one because unlike other reality shows where I've watched everything and I'm like, not a historian, but I can, you know, keep up. The challenge is one that is still difficult for me, even counting the seasons I have watched. Every season that starts, I'm like, oh, okay, wait. So yeah, I forgot this person is with this person and this person with this person. Like Liana calls it like the long, one of the more like soap opera types where it just goes on and on and on. And it's the same people and it's more relationships on relationships. So that's definitely how I take it. But these last like probably 5, 6, 7 seasons is where I've really been keeping up with the show.
Yeah. And the soap opera comparison is a great one. Don't feel like I've heard it enough for how accurate it is, but it's always said like this is about the relationships. And I feel like you jumped in at the point where like most of these relationships that are super important at this point were formed since then or later. So you're right on board. You know, all the important stuff.
Yeah, like I have benefited from the people being brought back now more often are the ones that I got in on the entryway. And so like Kyle, I've been there from the minute Kyle was first introduced. And now he is more of the seasoned vet amongst all these people. Whereas when I joined up, he was like a rookie. So it's definitely one of those where I'm way more familiar with the cast with every passing season than I was prior.
For sure, for sure. And so obviously we also came in here with a whole bunch of rookies. Is there anyone that you were particularly sad to lose early or that you know, might not have stuck around quite as long as we would have liked?
Yeah, well, I know you know some of mine because we've talked about it, but I'll let the people know. Obviously our survivors were all gone way too soon. I was very excited to see them, two of them specifically. And we lost them way too soon. We lost Kells that I was very keen on seeing. You know, obviously I had watched the first season of Too Hot to Handle and he was my favorite guy there. So to lose him early was also a big blow. There's still a couple rookies we have that have remained, which I'm happy about. But this season's format really did damn us from getting any rookie action.
Mm-hmm. It's been rough, but hey, you got to lose Fessy early, so that was a positive, at least I believe, right?
Yeah, we can't, you know, not all of them are going to be losers. That was a good W for the books. I'll take it. I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, so we're set up now where we're getting into the new format. How are you feeling about the season now that we have moved into teams rather than the pairs that we started with?
It's very fascinating because like I know teams are more of a like some of the more older seasons have done teams. I feel like more often we're either in an individual game or a pairs game of some sort. But It's actually been pretty fun. And I think honestly, the reason it's been as fun as it is because the format of this season, especially the formula was a little dull. They had pretty much built it in a way where the vets gamed the system and just kept getting the rookies out. So this has at least put a little bit of wrench in the works, which I've enjoyed. I initially thought, okay, the teams are way too lopsided, which might not be fun. But then this episode kind of, you know, maybe made that seem like it not necessarily is going to be the case, which made me happy. But no, it's adding new dynamics to the game, and that does give me joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so far as we've seen it play out, still not been great for the rookies, these teams, but it's just new, and like it needed a shake up so desperately that even if it's coming out with the same results, it feels fresher, and I'm definitely excited with how it's going. Check back in a couple weeks, but I have to imagine that, well, let me ask you, do you think that we are going to remain in these teams all the way through? Are we running the final in these teams, or no clue? Anything could happen.
I just can't picture a world where the ruby, the sapphire, the emerald, these are the last words for a win announcement. You know, like the winners are the ruby. So I don't think that's happening. So they've got to at some point, I think they'll shake it up to make them individuals again, or maybe pair them up somehow. I'm not sure. But I do see us having this team system for at least a couple more eliminations here.
Yeah, I just can't imagine them, like, they are so big on, like, you're competing for $1 million, and now the, like, main prize is not $1 million. It's going to be split up amongst the many placements, heavily weighted towards the winners, but I can't see them wanting to divide that by six and really cutting down on, like, how big that figure is for their winners. I feel like they really pride themselves on having raised up to what many other reality shows have been doing all along in terms of prize value. So I can't see them running as teams in the final either, but and that is part of why I also am like happy, because I don't think that we'll be in this format forever either. And so given that, I'm questioning a couple of decisions being made along here. But let's jump into this week's episode, another fun one, I thought, at least. We start with Ashley and Nani are having a good conversation, and I feel like this was something that was like sometime coming. We really do see Nani in the confessionals a lot talking about how she's not so sure if she can trust Ashley, where Ashley seems to be pretty firmly on Team Vet. And so I thought it was good here establishing Nani actually telling Ashley to her face, like, look, I want to trust you and I really like you, but you not switching onto Team Emerald was like a big show of faith, and that's something that I've needed from you.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that, you know, this is one of those times where you can be tested is when you do survive an elimination. And whatever the test is at the time, whether it's you're going to infiltrate a pair or at this point swap out a whole team, it really does give the people you stick with a show of faith that you either trust, because like no one's going to stay with a team that they think is a sinking ship necessarily. So if you stay, you're giving them the vote of confidence that, hey, I believe in us, we're going to be fine, and I want to work with you, and I, you know, want to take you further. And I think that is a great sign to see. It's been very interesting seeing their relationship grow throughout this season.
Yeah, it's hard because even if your team is a sinking ship, like as long as the other teams have your friends on it, that's not even so bad because, like, yeah, you would like to win to gain immunity from the elimination, but at the same time, if you're not someone who thinks they're going to be getting called out a lot, like, it's not so bad to not be winning either. So I understand the inclination not to jump over. Feel like for Ashley, like, too soon, let someone else do it first, see how it plays out, especially if we are not going to be running the final as, like, the Cells, Emerald, and Sapphire. Like, who cares which team you're on right now?
Exactly. And I feel like especially for someone in Ashley's case where from now till the end of time, no matter what season Ashley's on, someone's going to reference that she stole the money and therefore she's untrustworthy. Like, she's always going to have that going against her. So for her to not create any waves, stay the exact same, might keep her under the radar and allow her to get further, certainly further than many of these other seasons In the last couple of years that she's been getting to.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many seasons it would take for Ashley to just like play the straight and narrow and lose the reputation that many have argued is unfairly gained. But for now, like, she could use this one or two points on her resume for sure, especially within this season. Jumping over to Team Ruby, we see that other teams have had they're cohesive or they have a clear leader. Team Ruby does not seem to be having either of those, so Corey is taking it upon himself to run Corey's boot camp, where he's going to inspire this team if it's the last thing he does.
This was so funny to me, and just watching Corey try and be like, you know, I'll be damned if I don't put my all into this Ruby team and get him to be serious. It was so ridiculous last week when he was like, he's not even wearing the team colors. Like, relax, Corey. It's not that deep, okay? You're making this bigger than it is. But it was fun. It was inspirational seeing all the team, you know, get down and dirty with the workouts, except for, of course, Logan, who was just the flag boy.
Yeah, Logan, we find out, it's confirmed he pulled his hamstring, is not competing in this week's challenge, as well as Corey's boot camp, so he's sitting on the side. It's just interesting because I don't think that, like, anyone on this team is, like, a absolute bottom-tier competitor. I think that they all really just have such different styles that were explicitly highlighted during this, where Corey's taking it so seriously, Kyle's joking around, Big T is like, oh, I can't be bothered, like, let me do it later. Emmy is, like, taking it seriously, but also just, like, kind of frantic, so I really did think that this encapsulated each person on the Ruby team as the individuals that they are.
Yeah, no, it's a very fun group to me. Like, every other group, you see them and you're like, yep, okay, you got challenge prowess, cool. Yeah, no, you're going to probably, like, steamroll. But then when you look at Ruby, it's just such a wild combination of people that we've not really seen much drama happen, like, inter-team drama yet. But if there was drama, they would have the most entertaining drama, I feel like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think this is like our, you know, mess team. Like, we go here for the mess. We go here for, like, I don't know how much that is going to change with Kyle having left this cell by the end of the episode. But definitely it is a good time over on Team Ruby, if nothing else. So not complaining. As we move into, what do you feel about, we have this new segment every episode where we're getting a couple calls from home, really getting some character moments, but what do you think about this?
I'm okay with it. It's not too invasive to the rest of the show. To me, it doesn't take too much time. It doesn't give us, like, you know, it's not like hurting us in any way. So I'm fine with it completely. And honestly, for, like, you and I, having watched the first season of The US Circle, I certainly know Ed. I know Ed's mom. So that's not anything new to me, but it's a good insight for people who may not know these rookies, what's going on with them, or if it's showing a vet, where that vet is. Like, seeing Kyle learn about his, you know, more about his upcoming baby was definitely a fun sight. If I forgot, I don't even know if I knew Kyle was going to be a dad soon. Oh. So that was fun to see for sure.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, I like the character moments. I really like learning more about these people. We're going to get them season after season after season. So, like, these things are going to pay off long term, not even just in this episode. I am laughing about the fact that Tammy made it onto the challenge before her son Mitchell did. I would say let's keep it that way. We don't need him. So I am not complaining about that.
Oh, my only, God.
My only concern is really do think it flags up, like, who are we looking at as the, like, two elimination candidates where, you know, Ed and Kyle are both going to get their moment this episode, and I'm sure whoever's going in next week also is going to get flagged up. I don't think the challenge edit is super nuanced all of the time, so I'm not too upset, but definitely something on my radar.
Was last week Amanda got a video call?
Yeah, I don't know that we got Ashley last week. Ashley's story kind of all revolved around Amanda's story, it seemed like. So, I mean, I guess, good point, where it's not always going to be exactly that person who is getting the video call, but I do think that it is a little bit of a cheat sheet that you can be looking at.
Yeah, I think it could be a little tenuous, because, I mean, the other person that got a call in this episode was Big T, who is, again, also on the Ruby team. So they really went Kyle, Ed, and Big T. So I think there's something to be said about that. I think if they give you a short list of three, look at one of them, either potentially the words they're saying, so who they're talking about being down there, or themselves being down there is a decent shout.
Mm-hmm. How quickly you forget about Nelson's mom, Gloria, who popped up on this episode.
I tend to forget about Nelson, period. But that's just my personal tea does not have Nelson in it.
Yeah, I figured that was the case now. But I like this. I liked Big T talking about how serious she was at taking this and how she really wants to win this season. She feels like she's so close. I hope that she keeps that attitude up. I don't know that this is Big T's season, but I like that she is coming in here like actually with the desire to win and like training towards that, as we've seen. So I'm happy. And like you said, Kyle sees the sonogram of his child who has now been born. We have little Crew Christy running around. flashing into the aforementioned Amanda talking about her pregnancy with Kyle, which gets the episode title of Mucus Plug.
Oof.
Yeah.
Definitely did not expect that to be there.
No.
But I learned a thing.
I did laugh at, I don't know, like how, you know, great this was from Kyle, but I did laugh at the line where he brings up his grandfather for the first of two times in this episode, saying that it was like watching his favorite pub burn down. So Kyle really, you know, supplying the laughs. That's what Kyle's here for, and can appreciate him for that. So before we actually get in, we do get another quick scene though before the challenge, between Emmanuel and Tori, showing a little flirtationship.
Yeah, so their flirtation is clearly advancing further and further. Now, I don't know how far it's going to go, mainly because I have all the challenge hashtags muted. Same. On my Twitter, simply because Survivor takes priority for me and I don't want to get spoiled, so I watch it the next morning. But I don't know how, if they're in anything current day, no idea, couldn't tell you, but from what I can see, I think they're a good pair for each other. I really do think they're a good match. And Emmanuel was also linked up with Michelle at the start of the season, right? Mm-hmm. So I think ultimately, if I'm like the matchmaker and I have to say who would Emmanuel be the better fit for, I would say Tori probably.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we saw Emmanuel and Michelle earlier in the season, and like I was shipping. We saw Tori and Kels, Tori and Ed even popped up on the radar, but I think Tori and Emmanuel really does make sense. They seem to have like the similar personalities, like they say, like they just appreciate about each other like that they're weird, and that's what they like about each other. And I do see mm-hmm. that those personalities really meshing well together. I don't also know the status of current day. I believe they're on good terms at the least, but I don't know how far it has gone. But it would not surprise me at all to find out that they are still talking in some stages.
Yeah, I would definitely ship it, and I would definitely not ship the Ed and Tori, so I'm glad that's not a thing.
Yeah, that one I don't think had any legs. So not surprising. I think that may have impacted some things later in the episode, allegedly, but we move on to the challenge, which is sponsored by P3. Moved right past that onto the satellite sabotage challenge, where people are jumping from like arm to arm of the satellite. They have to grab the plug at the end while each team is spraying with fire hoses. Anything stand out to you here with the challenge?
Yes, that specifically they have to take a leap of faith to unplug the plug. That was very important. I like this challenge because the other teams have the ability to hinder, which is always fun. It always gives us the opportunity to see TJ laugh, which I do love a good TJ chuckle. So that's cool. And then I thought it was a relatively neutral competition in that it allowed anyone really to get through it. I mean, ultimately it came down to how much was the water going to hinder each person slash their grippability. How are they going to grip? Because for the most part, everyone at least made it a couple leaps, which was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was a good challenge. I feel like it satisfied their desire to have an interesting, you know, cut for the trailer while also being like pretty decent. I thought that it was mostly very fair in terms of each team having a pretty good shot at this. Except, did you notice that? So Ruby is obviously down to only five players, meaning they only get five shots at this while every other team gets six. Do you think that's fine? Do you think it's like consequences of not competing well in the last action? Or should they have better balanced this out?
See, I didn't even notice that. I didn't even notice that they only had five. I was like, well, look at them. They're doing so well. Damn. Yeah, so not only were they five, but they also had someone with a pulled hamstring. So they really had four, is what it was. I mean, I feel like in this instance, it would be great if they just had everyone, the other two cells, sit someone out. If they don't do it, that's fine. But it ends up working because I feel like punishing a team that's already down in the numbers is just going to make it so that team doesn't have a fighting chance, which I don't love. Now, again, this is why I like this competition, because it seemed to be the exact amount of difficult for all three teams. So it kept it relatively level for all three rounds. But I think whittle down every other team to have one person sit out to make it 5v5v5.
Yeah, I just don't even know the best solution. Like, I get that you don't want to sit out people. Like, they ideally want those like shots of everyone falling and like, haha, that's so funny. And the people that they're going to sit out are likely going to be the two people that are most likely to give them that. So I don't know like the best solution here. I thought that probably like you could have even done like it, when they're saying like the fastest to get their plugs at the end, like you could have done the average time by team member, like how far like each person makes it cumulatively. Because even like Emmy, who fell and did not get her plug in this challenge, made it to the last bar before she did fall. So like she was you know, only second to Casey on the women's side. So Team Ruby had an even better showing than we probably realized, knowing that like Emmy made it far, Kyle got there even though he was disqualified, and they had one less person competing at all.
Yeah, what if, okay, so how about this, what if they want everyone to compete, that's fine. What if they had each cell eliminate a person from contention of going twice, and then amongst the remaining three, the Ruby team would pick the person they want to go twice. So let's say they were like, okay, we're definitely not going to have Corey compete. So Sapphire's like, Corey, you're not competing again. And then Emerald's like, okay, Kyle, you're not competing again. Then amongst Logan, Emmy, and Big T, there could be some conversation of who is going to be going the second time, right? And I feel like that could have been a fun way to go about it, potentially.
Yeah, ideally, like, going the second time is definitely the way to go. I guess that they didn't want to have, like, the suspension of, like, disbelief of, like, okay, stop the challenge, lower the rig, put them back on, put it back up, now go again. Like, that is, like, a tough one when you are falling, like, 30 feet from the air. Like, not ideal, but ultimately, I think would have made the challenge a little more fair, especially just like had someone else from Team Ruby gone home again this week, and then we have like four against six in a challenge similar to this next time. Like, that was where it's like, all right, this is, you can't come back from this. So I am like giving it a pass this week, but definitely red flags.
Hey, you're on notice.
Exactly. So otherwise I thought this was fun. I was impressed. Like, good on Devin for showing that like not all brains can do compete in a physical challenge. Good on Casey being the only woman to make it. And like there were other funny moments, like Big T's big fall, Emmy screaming for her mom. So you know, overall enjoyed this.
Yeah, no, Emmy getting freaked out and then getting yelled at by CT and crew from below was the only person amongst everybody that I actually laughed at. And I don't mean to laugh at anyone's pain, but it was funny because I was like, none of this should work, but it was working on Emmy. So
I felt bad, but like, also I was laughing, but like, was also like, I feel bad, especially when CT and Emmy like allegedly have this like close relationship and he's like, nah, screw that. Like, we're done. You're like going down. That's fine. Spraying you with the hose. I think that it was funny. It was like in good fun. I think Emmy, like, you know, is fine and laughing about it now. So like, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, we're fine now.
So, obviously, as we talked about, Emerald Team wins because Kyle ended up being disqualified. I mean, I get, like, you told him the rule, so, like, sure, disqualify him. I don't think it was, like, a necessary one to have there in the first place, but whatever. Kyle ends up being pretty upset, not even because the team lost, but he talked about, like, in some interviews, especially how he was upset about the money aspect, having, like, Emmy and Logan, who are rookies, and, like, Big T, who's newer. They haven't, like, made as much money from being on the show as, like, himself or Corey has, so, like, they really could have, like, 3,000 is like a significant pay bump for them that he like wanted to really get it for them. So that was unfortunate, but otherwise, you know, we have Team Emerald here 2 for 2.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't care for the, you have to leap of faith it. I feel like if you were able to make that final jump and then not get wet doing it, why not? I feel like that should have been fine, but again, you want it for the cinematics. That's fair. That's okay. So ultimately, Kyle gets punished for that. Emerald wins again. And honestly, they barely won, right? And that's the truth of it. They barely won. But when you win two in a row, you kind of start looking unstoppable, which is not great.
Yeah, it's the thing. Like, 4 out of 6 of their team members fell almost immediately. Like, Josh jumps, slips immediately. Like, you know, we have Nani. I was terrified because I guess like you were supposed to jump where the white line was, which was increasingly further out on each arm, and so some people were jumping like diagonally to try to make that a shorter jump. Nani jumps like so far to the inside, her head like bangs off. Like, if it got wedged, I was so scared. I was like, no, don't do that. Yeah. So luckily no problems there, but like, it, no one even made it past like the third rung on Emerald except for Casey and Devin. I don't think this team is unstoppable. I think they have great chemistry, but I'm curious to see how long this winning streak lasts.
I feel like I would be shocked if they go 3 for 3. Obviously it depends on what the daily is, so that'll come into play, but for the most part, I don't think they're completely indestructible. In fact, I think they're one of the teams where if they're in a tough spot, they could unleash the drama amongst themselves. But for now, they're on easy street.
I'm curious. I'm wondering, like, is Emmanuel just going to take one for the team being the rookie should they lose on a guy's day? I'm curious to see how that all plays out. But yeah, I do agree. If this team runs up into a tough situation, how they're really going to just accept their fate or end up turning on each other, because they are very close as a six.
They are very close as a six, but I think also all of them would like to stay in and win. So if they're put in a spot, impossible spot where they have to turn on each other, I could see them doing that. But ultimately, because like, for example, next week, Ruby wins, right? And then someone from Sapphire is voted in. If that person is more likely to pick someone from Emerald, we'll see some bus throwing happening. But I do agree they're the most cohesive unit and they probably have the best communication amongst the three teams. So their longevity is good, but I feel like a wrench in the works wouldn't be completely immune to it necessarily.
Especially on, like, if you get someone on Ruby, I mean, this would require Kyle or CT getting voted in, which I don't know that that's happening, but even like, let's say Logan gets voted in or someone else on Ruby, and then like they have to take their pick of going against like Josh, Devin, or Emmanuel. I don't think you're picking Emmanuel as your like easiest route back into that house. So that should be fun, should we ever actually get to see that.
Yeah, who would you, out of those three, who would you like to see go first if you had to pick one to go?
I feel like, you know, I have been enjoying Josh a lot more this season. I've said that on the podcast. I think that very low bar coming in, but I said like I'm gonna give everyone a fresh slate, and I think Josh has benefited the most from that by far. But I'm weighing versus like, is that enough versus not disliking Devin as much in the past? Honestly, I feel like this is a good season for Josh so far. I would like to keep that running. I could lose Devin and not be that upset.
Okay. Interesting. I feel like I would have said Josh on instinct, but yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree, typically, I would probably be the least upset in terms of, like, a TV product, in terms of, like, who I'm generally rooting for to do well, but Josh is in actually a very good position this season, and I don't know how many times Josh is finding himself, like, well set up to win. There are a number of people still, like the Kyles and CTs of the world, in his way of actually winning, but there are less of those people standing in his way, less yeah. obvious threats. Standing in his way than on many other seasons that he's going to find. So I am curious to see, like, all right, Josh, we've been on for a number of seasons. I'm actually starting to enjoy you. You know, it can be walked back at any time, but as of right now, I'm not upset about Josh being on the show. So, like, let's see what you can do if you actually make it far enough.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so because he's improved in, I would say, dailies and I mean, you know, the yet to be seen in eliminations. I feel like he has improved in terms of physicality. I'm curious how that has translated to finals running as well. So, you know, the one thing about those three guys, I don't think any of them are going to put themselves in this same situation as Ed, where even as soon as we get back to the house, like, Sapphire guys are talking about how if any of them go into elimination, they're coming back to their team, it's fine. But Ed is raising flags of already, like, not really putting up the biggest fight here.
Yeah, this was questionable for me from Ed. I mean, I'm okay with it, right? Because I was like, okay, if anyone's going, Ed's going, I'm okay with that. That's cool. But I just did not understand this sacrifice aspect of this. I mean, I got it, but also I didn't get it. Like, you're in this game. You came in as a clear alternate. You barely had this chance. Why give it up? I mean, here's the sad part. I say, why give it up? Well, you think you're going to come back? I feel like he's gonna, as much as I don't want him to come back. I think even, like, he just sounds like someone to me that's going to come back. Good spirit, positive guy, has some, you know, physical acumen. Sign that up again, sadly.
Yep, I do agree. I think in terms of what we've seen on the show of Ed, like, Ed is good casting for the challenge. And, like, in terms yeah. of, like, as a character on the show, like, I enjoy what I see of Ed, the character on the show. So I have, like, little to no doubt that he, at this point, has already, like, locked in his return. I don't think that he has any way of knowing that in the real time. I'm sure that there are plenty of people who thought they were going to be the star of the season and went home completely unceremoniously already, or will do so in the future and never return. But, you know, for Ed, I think also what it comes down to, where he ends up, we get into deliberation. Ed is talking about how, like, Logan deserves to be here. I'm not throwing myself in, but, like, I kind of am. I feel like it's between him and Logan. There's a very good shot that he gets thrown in anyway. I think that this is a move we have seen before of, like, I know I'm going in, so let me pretend like it was my choice. I don't know that was 100% the case from Ed, but I understand it a little more given that. Even still, like, you know, I think that there is, like, two sides of the fence of, like, would you rather see someone buck up and, like, go fight for what they want, or, like, I would prefer someone who is doing anything that they can to not go have to fight for what they have to do.
Exactly. So,
yeah, I think that the average challenge fan might appreciate Ed's method more, but our side might be the exact opposite of what he's trying to do.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, we've had these last couple seasons, there's been a skull involved. You have to get your skull for the final. So, like, there's a element of, yes, put me in because I want to get the skull, or I need to get it beforehand, whatever. So there's that. But then we can talk about it when we get there a little later on. Even if, like, it was a matter of, let me, you know, prove my worth, kind of like the Ed's taste has not, Ed's picks have been pretty bad. And it's very, 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 very interesting the way this episode goes.
Yeah, it's weird because I do think Emerald talked about how their strategy was they didn't really want Logan going home. They don't know how his injury is going to move in the future. But like, if there is that week that Emerald loses, I'm sure you would rather Logan be available for the picking than staring down like Corey Nelson, Kyle, and CT as your options.
Exactly.
So like, you
Exactly.
want Logan there. And like they said, Ed is the least likely to pick him and probably also the least likely to infiltrate Emerald. So I completely understand why he was the vote there. And also am, you know, leaning a little more into was this completely inevitable and Ed really did not affect anything.
No, yeah, ultimately it was again, it's the easy chalk decision here to pick him over anyone else. 'Cause like you mentioned, Logan is just they're gonna see him as a layup. You know, obviously if he eventually gets over this hamstring injury and like proceeds to make a run, they might regret this. But right now, they are seeing him as someone who has a bit going against them, and you want to be the person to take that person on. They're not a threat to you. Why get rid of him right now?
Yeah, it's tough because like, and even online, like Ed makes this move and the sentiment online is like, Ed reminds me of an old school challenger who just like takes it on the chin and like, oh my God. So I think that Ed did do himself plenty of favors with the fan base. I think that it already was pretty much a lock, but seems to have further cemented the feelings on him. You know, I do enjoy also we get before the elimination. Only thing I have here, unless you have anything else, I have Logan talking to Ed, basically giving him some advice of if it's speed, pick Kyle. If it's physical, pick Corey. And that's basically the outline of any elimination it could be of those two things, you're good. And they're both suck at puzzles, so you're fine either way there.
Yeah, that was the only thing I was going to bring up. And you know, nice guy Logan giving his information was pretty fun. And it was on point. That information was 100% accurate. So I liked the help that he tried to provide Ed.
It's funny because like I wouldn't have flagged Corey as like this like speed monster until his last elimination last season against I believe it was last season with him and Durrell where he just like sprinted out of the gates. Like I don't know who was beating him in that. So definitely flagged that up correctly. It looks like Logan did do his research there. But anything else before we get to elimination?
Honestly, not that I can think of that's of note. There was the fun moment where while the two of them were deliberating, Kyle comes over and he's like, "If you don't pick me, I will never pick you. Not just this season, any season." And then kind of like slyly throwing Corey under the bus. Like, yeah, you could pick Corey. Corey's right there.
Yeah, who's your better friend? Is it me? Is it Corey? So, and that's where like I thought that argument may win out, especially with someone like Ed. He is like just seems like he's there to have a good time. It had been discussed how like CT and Devin and Kyle and Ed seem to have had like a pretty good relationship, if not an alliance, when Corey himself was the one outlining the sides of the house. So I thought that Kyle was, you know, doing good work. I know he said elsewhere that he also like felt bad for losing the challenge and at one point like even had the thought like, do I throw myself in? But very quickly was like, no, remember who you are. You would never, ever, ever do that. So don't, you know, make it easy for anyone. And so I like that, you know, like we said, I like seeing the people who are fighting to stay out of elimination rather than take it on the chin and go in.
Yeah, I feel like don't volunteer unless you feel like there's a 90% chance you're going in anyway. Try and secure the audience brownie points and maybe house brownie points in some way, but only if you're certain.
Yeah, so as we do move into the elimination, it becomes obvious that Ed is in. He has his choice. He talks about how he's really between Kyle and Corey, and ignoring the advice of Logan, he decides to go with Kyle in what is going to be a pole wrestle. It's been discussed elsewhere that, like, I guess the pole was not sitting in the middle of the arena, but like when you walk in and you see essentially like an empty field, like it's going to be physical, just assume. Like they're not going to like build a climbing wall in the next 20 minutes. So like something very easy is going in the middle of there. Assume it's physical.
Honestly, I feel like, yeah, regardless of the poll being there, and let's say the poll was there, maybe the pick doesn't happen. I feel like just going off of the physical component, the height disadvantage you're going to have means you will never have a better reach than your opponent if you pick Kyle. You will never have the capability of trying to get away from his long limbs. Like, that's just not going to happen. So I feel like that was a huge misfire. Because like you said, with a little pit like that, it's not like they're going to be like, all right, race from one end of the circumference to the other side. That's not going to happen. It's not a foot race. So that's never going to happen. And there's clearly no puzzle to be seen anywhere. I felt like this was a huge mistake.
Yeah, it was bad. I feel like you said, even just the size difference is a much bigger factor than I think most people realize. I think more than I had realized until recently. Just in terms of like, Ed is strong. Kyle says that like Ed's arms are both of his put together. So it's not like on paper when I think many people look at it, people are going to think like, oh, Ed looks stronger. But Kyle just like has the reach on him where Ed can pull as far as he wants and he can be as strong as he wants, but he's just not going to be able to get the pole far enough away from Kyle that he's going to lose his grip. So like being strong is great, but that size difference really is going to be a problem. And that is, I think, the main determining factor here.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, again, just can't stress this enough. If you're going for all the brownie points, try and stay in if you can. And to me, this felt like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to, you know, just go. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't know that Ed is like the biggest challenge historian. I think that he, we flagged up, he's kind of a puppy dog and like I think really, really enjoys like this experience. We talked about how he's been at like fan events and is just like so excited that people recognize him and like really loves like the interaction. So it's possible that he is like a fan of the reality TV sphere, but I think more likely he is just like that's his personality. So it doesn't seem like he recognized that it was gonna be a pole wrestle and or knew anything about Kyle's history with pole wrestle, because apparently Kyle is the pole wrestle king, question mark.
I mean, if you win two and then you're going for a third, you're the king, allegedly. That's
can
what
we
that's
discuss
the, case.
The two
yes, because I remember one. I do not remember the second quite well.
Okay, so the one that I feel like they showed a little more of was the War of the Worlds. We get where it's a three-way elimination between Kyle, JP, who we never saw again, and CT. And yes, Kyle beat CT in an elimination that was pretty physical, similar to pole wrestle, but it was because JP was focusing 100% of his energy on CT, and Kyle yes. was like, I'll take advantage of this, thank you. So like, if this was a one-on-one pole wrestle between Kyle and CT, I don't think we're coming out with the same results at all.
Right, because then what was the other one? Why am I thinking Bear? Was it with Bear or am I just misthinking? What was the second one?
He did have a physical elimination against Bear where they were like racing to grab like balls flying from the air and get them into
balls in the barrel. Okay,
but Kyle's like, I would say more like the elimination that was probably the most similar to pole wrestle, which I don't even think was 100% a pole wrestle, came last season. Do you remember who Kyle beat in this elimination that everyone is qualifying him as the pole wrestle king because of?
No, but remind me, refresh my memory here.
It was America's Got Talent's own Joseph, little
Joseph. Oh my God.
So yeah, that is where Kyle apparently cemented his legacy as the Pole Wrestle King. So I was truly just dumbfounded and was like, all right, are we being sarcastic and or using this to signal that Kyle is going to somehow lose here? But you know what, Kyle, I would say this is by far the most impressive of his three of those three elimination wins in terms of the ones that are being compared to Pole Wrestle.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say, I mean, you want what Kyle has. If you're anyone that's playing the challenge, you want to be seen as the king, the big threat, and you want them to forget that the opponents and the situations maybe favored you a little too much anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyle has performed better in eliminations, I think, than we generally expect. But when you look at some of the eliminations back in the past, like, yeah, he's beaten Bear, who I think was pretty solid, and like CT on paper. Again, we went into why that was maybe not as impressive. But then, like, it is him in like an endurance race against Josh or like a physical battle against Joseph. Like, maybe those aren't the best markers on a resume, but you know what, don't talk about who it's against, talk about how many he's won. And Kyle looks like a very scary opponent to go against.
Yeah, that's safe to say.
And especially, I would say this is one of the better ones. Like, Ed is like legitimately slamming Kyle into the ground. Kyle said that he was like hiding injuries after this because he like injured a rib or something, because he was just like slammed into the ground 5 or 6 times at least. So like, good on weathering the storm, but a little worried about Kyle being not up to like put him on the sit out bench with Logan potentially for the next challenge.
Yeah, it was actually pretty impressive of Ed, watching Ed just lift this entire man from the ground and throw him back down multiple times in an attempt to get Kyle to let go. And kudos to Kyle for firming it, because that first round did not look easy. And obviously winning that first round set the tone, because Kyle did exercise the patience game by just not letting go and just letting Ed tire himself out trying to get him the first point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was pretty reminiscent of, I don't know if you watched the Challenge All-Stars, but on one of, I think it was the first elimination over there, where they compared it to, they were basically using a human plunger. Seemed pretty similar here with Kyle just being slammed into the ground over and over.
Yeah.
But came out on top regardless, leaving him with the decision to infiltrate or not infiltrate. And that's where we get Kyle talking about how his grandfather on his deathbed said if he ever has the chance to follow CT over to the Sapphire Cell, that he better take it. And he is going to do just that, replacing Nelson on the Sapphire Cell.
This was perfect. This was so funny. I honestly, like, I can't stress this enough, I really enjoy Kyle on the challenge, and he is just lighthearted, stupid fun when he's not in fight. When he's in fight mode, I get uncomfortable, because he knows how to get under someone's skin, and he does it really well. Like, the many times him and Paulie went against each other was definitely moments of discomfort. But when he's just chilling and goofing off, I love it a lot. And this was perfect, because I was happy that he put Nelson in the Ruby team, because remember, Nelson and Corey were like, we'll be on opposite teams so we can watch each other's backs. And now Nelson can't do that anymore. But it was especially funny to me watching Nelson angry in confessional calling Kyle a snake. And I was like, what are you going to do? Not take the better opportunity, Nelson? Don't be ridiculous. Like, he didn't snake you personally. He just wanted to be with CT and he didn't want you in the equation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyle's storyline from his earliest seasons of the challenge, I believe his first was actually your first season as well, where he comes in like the pirate, like dating Cara Maria, and he's just like done a full 180, where now he's like, now it's like Dad CT and Dad Kyle, like side by side. He is just a totally different character on the show than we first had, and I think he's just like endlessly funny. I do agree, when he gets into like his like arguments and fights, generally, like, maybe Kyle, we want to update like the vocabulary a little bit, some of like not the best coming out of Kyle then.
Yeah, so hopefully no, get pretty bad before
under control. But in general, I agree that Kyle is one of the more likable people here, and I know how you feel about Nelson, so I was not surprised to hear that you ultimately were happy about this. Do you think, though, that this was the best move for Kyle?
Honestly, it's hard to say, right? Because we're both talking about how the teams don't seem too lopsided. It might seem from the outsider initially, but I mean, after this episode, watching Ruby pretty much lose the competition because of themselves, I don't think it's necessarily that big of a bone. Because, like, let's see. So he is now with Amanda, Ashley, Bettina, CT, and it's him. So it's really, he's in a bad spot in one specific way, and that is if a Ruby team wins and people are not going to want to pick CT. Like, that's going to be the problem.
Exactly. I'm a little worried about, like, okay, so what is, like, either someone from Emerald gets voted in and then they're picking Kyle 100%, or like Kyle himself gets voted in and he has to go against one of his friends on the Emerald team. So, like, I don't think you want to end up in an elimination against Corey or Nelson either necessarily, but it does create a scenario where if Ruby wins, like, both of them are safe. And I think that they are probably the next two targets for, like, the larger alliance. So I'm not sure this was the best decision in all actuality.
Well, I feel like you compare it with Ashley, and Ashley did the complete opposite of this, where she was like, I'm just going to stay firm and stay where I'm at. I feel like that could have helped him in the long run, because then you look at the team he's in, there's still three guys, which I think is not a bad shout, because you're a lot less likely mm-hmm. to be picked in a 1-in-3 versus a 50-50. When the other 50 is CT, there's a bigger chance you're going to get picked. So from that perspective, I do think sticking around would have been better. But I think he's banking on just riding out this Sapphire team to, like, as far as the twist goes, is I think what he's banking on. And hey, for his sake, I hope it works out. But all it takes is one Ruby win and Kyle's back in the pits again. So,
Yeah, I think it's tough. Well, even like if Emerald wins again, like, is Ruby going to pick one of their own teammates, or they're going against Kyle? So I feel like it put him in a much worse position, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, where he's likely to have to face more eliminations. I don't think that the cells are lasting all the way through. So he's not even gaining, like, a strong team in terms of a final. And, like, if he's on Team Ruby, we went over last week talking about, like, where we thought the voting power really sat in each of these cells. And I think that, like, had Emerald or Sapphire won, he was in very little danger of being the actual vote in to elimination. Mm-hmm. And then probably, you know, is not, like, the first on the list to get picked again against, like, whoever does get voted in. Whereas now, like, he is decently likely to both get voted in and get picked. So I see it as a negative, at least initially, in terms of his positioning.
Well, I think ultimately, you know, we talked about this earlier, but keeping Logan in as kind of the get out of jail free card is something that I could see. Because, like, the next elimination, if it's a women elimination, then the one after that is back to the men. I feel like Logan is pretty much damned unless Logan wins, right? Maybe. Because, again, it won't last rookie standing kind of situation. So I think Logan's still a scare, and then it's a matter of, will Logan pick Kyle? But even then, if Kyle goes in, he picks Logan, that's one elimination. If there's two men eliminations to go, I feel like Kyle has a high likely chance of ending up back in there, sadly for him.
Yeah, I think there's probably at least two left, so I think that that is looking likely. He could find himself in there both times, even. If I don't know how long a hamstring takes exactly to heal. I don't think that he is going to be 100% all of a sudden. But as we saw this week, like, Logan still competed and got the plug for his team.
Yeah.
So, like, he's not completely out of this regardless. Yes, Logan is not at 100%, but, like, Logan at 80% is better than some of the other options that to go against, even still in some of the challenges. So I am a little worried for Kyle here.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
So we touched on Ed goes home. Talked about how we think he's still pretty likely. Would you say he's the most likely male rookie returnee that's gone out so far, or just like overall?
I think so. Because even the way TJ said bye, he was like, I really, really hope we see you again. I was like, okay, TJ, you're putting on a little thick. We're going to see Ed. I get it. Now, here's what I don't want is the success of Ed also leading into Mitchell making an entrance, his brother. Because I feel like I would have said Mitchell is a surefire person to end up on the challenge. And now I think it's even more guaranteed that he's going to end up on the challenge.
It's tough because until this point, obviously, the challenge has had a reckoning with dealing with some of the not so bright past of some of their competitors. We saw D very publicly get eliminated in terms of like mid-season was just like out of contention, completely edited out of the show, said that she'll never come back. And not quite as publicly, a number of other challengers have not made their returns since then, specifically a lot of the UK cast in Bear and Rogan and Georgia, which may or may not be specifically due to events and or like problems that they have had outside of the show.
Ooh.
So yeah, so I think that there is kind of like this, like, you know, who is who's not banned exactly from the show. And I would think that given what we have seen surface online from Mitchell, I would not expect him to show up on the challenge. But as I'm sure people who have been following the All-Stars challenge casting have seen, there are some people who are showing up on the All-Stars 3 casting that I did not think we would ever see again and suddenly are showing their faces. So I'm a little worried that maybe we are giving that up and will be casting problematic people again. So I'm hoping that's not the case.
Fingers crossed on that one.
I don't think that they'll take the risk on like a rookie, especially like, I don't think like, what is the value of going towards like Mitchell Eason when he has like that stuff surrounding him? Whereas like, it is still annoying, but I see that they are like valuing past names who like maybe have a little bit of stink on them. But, you know, hopefully, fingers are crossed, we're not, you know, taking rookies. I don't need to see, we've brought it up, but like Huey, who had some stuff surface with him, I don't need to see him back, even though he was like decent on one season of the challenge. So I would agree. I think Ed is probably the most likely name. There are people that I'd probably rather see more in like Corey or Kells, but I'm not like furious at the idea of Ed returning either.
Yeah, because I feel like, isn't Jay someone who also had stuff resurface that caused him to not get brought back? So
at least allegedly, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they got to pick a lane. You either, you know, make it strict or it's fast and loose and anyone can get in, just because it just, it's just, where's the line, right? And like, how are you determining then? What's the through line here? I feel like the lack of through line does bother me.
And so I am we're gonna hold off on talking about the All-Stars 3 casting because it's still in flux. It's not exactly figured out. Did see one rumored name that seems to have either dropped himself or been dropped was Johnny Bananas, so that does not seem like it's happening anymore. Ooh. So either yay or sad about that, I'm sure many of you not too upset about it, but we'll talk about the All-Stars 3 as well as the All-Stars 2 cast another time. As far as this season goes, Puya, do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about, whether it be from this episode or previous?
Honestly, not really. I'm just very happy that I'm enjoying the season of the challenge, even though there's been moments that have just dragged on or were a little too samey at the beginning. It finally is starting to feel like a little bit more fresh. I mean, it's similar to what you said earlier about how it's basically still the same results, but a little bit different. So it's like when a video game releases the 2018 version after 2017, it's like, oh, it's the same game, just a little updated on the rosters, little color change, that's it. It's kind of that vibe, but doesn't mean I'm not enjoying myself. So I'm very, very excited to see how this plays out, how it ends. There's still people I'm rooting for, which is great. And we'll see where we go from there.
If you had to, you could pick, you know, one with the head, one with the heart. If you had to pick like a male and female winner for this season, how do you think we're looking so far?
Like, okay, so is this me making a pick? Okay, you said one from head, one from heart.
Yeah, you can do whatever you feel like, but, you know, just establish which is which.
The heart would always want a big TW, right? I want Big T to get her flowers, please. Yeah, that would be great. I would be okay with that. Head, honestly, Emmy also would be a good heart pick, I would say.
Agreed,
Emmy would be a great heart pick. So from head, I feel like, again, we're in a position where I think Casey has a very good shot at taking this. And I don't know. There's something about Amanda this season that I'm not completely like out on. I feel like Amanda, I don't know. I mean, like you said, reading the edit of the challenge is very difficult to do, but I'm just feeling something about Amanda's in the air, but we'll see. We'll see if that comes to fruition. From the men, what does the heart want? I mean, the heart wants a Logan win. Or, you know, a Kyle win, I think after this episode, I would be okay with. The head says, as long as CT is there, I'd be dumb not to pick him. We did a draft with Randy Neupel, and CT's the only person left on my draft after like the third week. So I think that gives you an indication of who I think would still always have a shot while they're in the game. I don't know. I feel like Corey's not impossible either. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nelson, I think my bias is always clogging my understanding of Nelson as far as his capabilities for all. Like, he might be good, but I need to see it. And I still don't see Josh taking a win here at the end at all. But like you said, he's getting better. So if he keeps putting in the work, we could see this happen for him at some point.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, I just don't see Corey and Nelson really improving season to season. And so, like, while I think that they are, like, still many steps above Josh, I do see Josh improving season to season. I don't know what his ceiling is quite yet. And that's why, like, in terms of, like, a career win, who am I putting at more likely? Not quite giving it to Josh, but it's, you know, reaching there in terms of a career win is coming. As for this season, you didn't mention him. I don't hate Emmanuel's position. I feel like actually very competitive in terms of, like, anytime we have like a running challenge, he is straight out in front. I feel like he is in a great position with his alliances and is aligned with people that he can beat at the end. Obviously, that's going to require CT going home. And I feel like it's episode 11. Why are you not targeting CT yet? Hopefully for their sakes, they start doing that soon. I don't know who's going to really take him down in an elimination, but I think you're right. CT is probably CT Casey are the odds on favorite. And then if we're making heart picks, with the heart, no men win. It is only two women, but no, probably, I don't know. I'm between probably Kyle or Emmanuel. I really do like Emmanuel, and Big T here. So we'll see how the rest of this season plays out. But otherwise, we are looking at the 500th episode of the challenge next week. So hopefully we get something good there. And then once again, Puya, thank you for jumping in here to talk about the challenge.
Thank you so much for having me, Scally. This was a great time. This is the first time I've ever been able to talk about the challenge on audio form and not just in the DMs with friends. So thank you so much for making that happen. I appreciate it.
No, thank you again. Let's go through your many plugs. What do we got going on these days?
All right, the many plug. Let's start with Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I stream there about 3-4 times a week. Definitely have a good time there. Come say hi. Would appreciate that. And I have two podcasts currently going on. I got The Masked Singer with, of course, my partner and everything, Liana. We talk about all the nonsense that's going on there. And this season's been fun so far. And 90 Day Fiancé, Scally, which you have made an appearance on, and I have made you become a 90 Day fan, which I have very much enjoyed. And that's been a great time. You know, the Hot Mess Express with 90 Day is not showing no signs of stopping. They have now announced there is a new season coming on the 12th of November, and then another new season coming on the 12th of December. So I'm going to be pretty busy doing my 90 Day business as well.
Oh, man. If we had to cast someone from the 90 Day franchise on the challenge, is there even one good pick?
Oh my god. Okay, so it's difficult, right? Because with the challenge, you know, the name itself does say gotta be at least a little bit physically like ready to go. And a lot of these couples, you know, they're not about that life. And the ones that are just so trash that I don't want to put them out there. I will say there's someone named Paula, who's from a former season. She has now ventured into the world of wrestling. So ooh. I could see Paula being a good shout. If you want a toxic man who might gaslight a little bit, Jesse is someone who from a former season could be not well equipped, but could be equipped for a good 2-episode run maybe. But yeah, 90 Day might not have the best crossover ability. They might be better suited for a Celebrity Big Brother.
All right. Well, I would not hate to see it. I mean, like we said, we've seen America's Got Talent. We've seen a couple other shows I don't think that we saw as likely feeders. So never say never. It is possible. As far as things that I have going on, just check out Twitter at Brian_Scally. Anything that I'm doing, I will post over there in case I'm forgetting anything. And also check out my missing co-host Twitter at Matt Ligori on Twitter. Go follow over there. As far as next week, we'll be back, hopefully both of us together this time. And until then, thanks for showing up.